Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
There, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction measure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was watching the Robert Blake verdict.
Oh, yeah.
Today. First off, you know, it's amazing how much mileage you can get out of a show if you're on it in the 70s because there's no other TV shows on. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, sure, everyone remembers Beretta. It was a sort of mediocre to crappy show that was on in the 70s when there was 2.5 other channels. We had no choice.
Right. If you looked at the rundown of what else was up against Beretta in 1972.
Yeah, it was, you know, Make Room for Daddy and Farm Report.
Right, My Mother the Car.
So and, you know, Gillette presents Fire on Ice, you know.
That's right, right.
Ex-Olympic specialist. Gold Winner. Yeah,
or if they're nothing. If they're going to line something up, try to topple it, Bad Ronald.
Right,
something like
right.
that.
And once in a while, they'd have a Let's Rap. It's a forum where chicks wearing like a kufi, and she's got a big afro, and they're sitting around. There's a fern. Look like public access.
Right.
Talking about the mayoral race in Cleveland. Like, nothing.
So that means for the entire country on Thursday night, was it a Thursday night show?
I don't remember.
It seemed like a Thursday night show. You had three choices, and Beretta was one of them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I sit around the writer's table over at Kimmel, and everyone's like, oh, who saw 24 last night? I didn't see 24. You're not watching 24? No. How about The Shield? No, I didn't see The Shield. You're not watching The Shield?
Yeah.
You're not watching it? And then what about The Contender? No, I didn't. Contender's awesome, man. New Contender. And it's like, I realize, yes, these people are not stupid. These are college-educated guys who write for television for a living, and these are very good shows that they're all very much fans of. It's just there's only so many hours in the day, but there's the list, everything from the sort of, like I said, the 24s and the Shields on the sort, and then the 1,000 CSI shows and all these things, these sort of 1 hour cop drama things. Then you head over and you have all these home improvement shows, and then there's all
History
these
Channel,
there's
Discovery
all these
Channel.
You know, then you got The Apprentice and all this kind of stuff, and then there's all the, you know, documentary on Ava Braun and everything. It just keeps going, and then there's sports, and it just keeps going and going and going. And I think, and I was just sitting at the table today thinking about Family Affair, and I was just saying, what a bummer that show was.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a full-blown bummer that show was. And I just thought, would a show like that make it 4 or 5 seasons? It wouldn't even
make
exist.
It. Are you kidding? The pitch to be laughed out of the room.
Uncle Bill, today's baseball tryouts at the park. Can you take me? French.
Well, Buffy, your Uncle Bill's a busy man. And, you know, he has to take care of you.
I gotta go to Taiwan on business, Shire. French! Poor kids. They love their Uncle Beale. Tell you what, not traumatized at all. Their parents were burnt alive in a car crash. No problems there. Anyway, the point is, I start thinking about all these horrible shows we were forced to watch.
Come on.
All the cartoons, list goes on and on. But the point is these shows wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes.
Listen, for you
and hold on a second. The, you know, the Brady Bunches of the world that everyone waxes poetic about.
It's horrible.
Junk.
Oh, yeah.
Just so much fluff.
Oh, not even fluff.
Now, you know what it's like? It's like saying candy corn is a good food.
Yeah, because
you ate
it
when you were nine, and you're
right.
Like, oh, come on, it's good food.
I love that.
No, it's junk. It sucks. Terrible. It was horrible. That Brady Bunch sucks. You go back and watch a Brady Bunch, there's not a laugh. There's not even a smile in it.
I wish people could appreciate the sort of vantage point that we have, the idea of the pitch of these shows. Somebody has to think of these things, think about it, and go in and pitch them to networks that they were going to spend millions of dollars producing.
I think they were coked up at the time.
I got this. Listen. No, just try over here. Mm. I got this great idea. You'll love
astronaut?
This. No. Well, that show was great, wasn't it? The astronauts go back in time, but no.
Not back in time. Finds a bottle on the beach.
Oh, well, that one.
Got the genie in it.
I think we have you know, I think we have a troop. Where should we go with this? We do have troops. We do a, you know, which
true.
Show?
You got to pick one.
I can't think of one to do.
All right. Well, don't start the pitch.
Let's get a nun that flies.
Yeah, with
right,
the flying
nun.
Bear with me on this.
It's a nun.
Sorry,
she has a habit. You know, those funny habits look like paper airplanes.
Yeah.
I bet if she put her head into the wind a certain way,
they don't look like paper airplanes.
Well, just go with me.
She put too much starch in hers.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
Well, you understand that's what happened to her habit. The habit hangs down around the neck. Hers was starched.
And that's why it...
That's why she flew.
Well, they...
Michelle.
Yes?
Get on that computer thingy and find out why Sally Fields flew in the Flying Nun. She put too much starch in her habit
and
actually created
an
airfoil.
Okay, I got one for you.
You're a lesbian. Yeah,
bear with me. It's World War II. World War II.
Mm-hmm.
A concentration camp. Mm-hmm. I know. It's hysterical, probably. It's hysterical.
Is this a drama?
No. A comedy. Mm-hmm. Concentration camp.
Comedy.
A group of international soldiers
mm-hmm.
who are being held in a stalag.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're at the whim of this fat guard. Hysterical premise. Hysterical.
Schultz.
And the guard is under the supervision of this crazy commandant.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Clank.
How did that even go down?
All right, the point is none of these shows would have stood a chance in today's market, no doubt about it. But in a way, well, not really. I was going to say it's like comparing yesterday's athletes to today's athletes.
No,
it's not fair.
That's worthy.
No, yeah, that's worthy because they still needed five guys who made the cut for the basketball team, mm-hmm. whereas now there's just so much competition, so many slots,
right. Everything's
so much better. But here's what I'm saying. Robert Blake trial.
Yeah.
Now, Blake, as everyone's still talking about Beretta from the late 70s crappy show. And again, like I said, there's no equivalent to that. The show's 30 years old. You would not know a guy who was on a show 30 years from now because there's 5 million shows. He was found not guilty and seemed to be fairly evident that he was guilty, but he was found not guilty. And it's the same thing they do with all the court stuff. Same thing with OJ. It's like, well, they did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he was guilty.
The system worked.
Yeah, we didn't have any hard evidence. I mean, you take a trial and you get rid of a body or you get rid of a gun or you just don't have any blood spattered on you, you're walking if you have a decent attorney. Oh, people could have heard you talking about killing your wife. People could have had you solicit undercover agents who you thought were, hitmen to kill your wife. You can do anything you want. You can take a video of yourself talking about wanting to kill your wife. No hard evidence. No hard. So it's just speculation. It's no hard evidence. Which, to me, if you had, if the entire courtroom was gathered out on the curb by the restaurant watching him shoot it, obviously we wouldn't need the whole system. The whole system is to sift through the evidence, which does not include videotape of the person killing them. Oftentimes, and oftentimes you don't find
that wouldn't be admissible if they had that anyway.
Right. You don't find the person has the other person's guts splattered on them and stuff. You have to do a little, you have to hear some evidence, timelines, where the person was, motive, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we can't really convict anyone unless we actually have gunpowder residue on them and the spatters of the person's blood on them. The fact that they wanted to kill them and left the place and we're in the same place and there's no new killer and the prints are on, whatever, doesn't seem to be anything. But here's all I'm saying, Drew. All I'm saying is I've been saying for years now, what about the lie detector? What about it?
For a long time.
What about the lie detector? We've had this lie detector. It works pretty good already. It's probably 95% of the Earth's populace couldn't really effectively pass this if, in fact, they murdered somebody.
Yeah.
All right, maybe 90%. Who knows? Let's put the world scientists on this. You talked about the functional MRI machine.
Yeah.
We talked
yep.
about the technology. The technology, in terms of what we've learned about the brain
yep.
in the last 5 to 10 years is astronomical.
You're
it's
right.
through the roof.
Yep.
And people do this thing where it's like, whoa there. Hold on a second, Orwell. We can't throw out this tried and true system. We can't throw out the system that has a bunch of guys in Illinois on the death row. We have to let them all go because a bunch of college students figured out that none of them were guilty.
And O.J. Walks.
O.J. and Robert Blake are out. They got a tee-off time tomorrow at 7:30 at Riviera. We can't throw this one out. Watch TV. Watch TV on a Friday night. Watch those 2020 shows. You'll see some teenagers been locked up for 10 years that didn't do anything, or some poor black guy was drifting through town. I'm taking a good look at our system. We seem to be about a coin toss. If you have money for an attorney and you got enough money to throw at your problem, there's a pretty good chance you're getting out of whatever it is. And conversely, if you're a junkie and you don't have the money and you get the court appointed, whoever, and maybe you ain't the right color and maybe you're not in the right place, there's a good chance you're going in. Is our system so perfect that it's beyond reproach? It doesn't seem good at all. I would much rather have the lie detector in place. And they do that thing. It's like, how could we ever possibly replace human beings? How about a calculator versus a ninth grader?
Right, right.
We got machines that do stuff a lot better than people all the time. This could just be another one.
Yep.
And when you think about the jurors, you look at these people, you know, they always interview them, and the chick's got, like, four different shades of hair, and they're, like, chewing tobacco, and they're, like, in their 50s, and they're wearing a Budweiser windbreaker and a Dale Earnhardt button, and they're going, I just didn't see what, and you think to yourself, would you want this person picking out the restaurant you ate at mm-hmm. tonight? Would you want them picking out the movie you rented?
Mm-hmm.
How about deciding what you wore that day?
Right.
How about what music you listened to? Is there anything you would trust this group of people to pick out? How about the frames for your glasses, Drew?
But the rest That'd of my life, awesome. That idea.
Yeah. Would you want them picking the frames out that you're, for your glasses? You
no.
look like Swifty Lazar.
Yes,
would you want them doing anything? You know what I'm saying?
No.
No! Let's just get this piece of technology. It already exists. It's been around for 40 or 50 years. Let's just put some final touches on it, get the world's scientists together, and 5 years it's done. We've tested it, tested it, and tested it. It's 97% effective. What we got now, 55, 60, 65, what is it?
We don't even know.
We don't even know. It doesn't sound so great to me when I look at these things. Boom. Right in and right out. And it's not just murder. You know, Robert Blake, Michael Jackson, whatever. Some guy says he took a slip in a casino. He's suing for damages. We'll find out whether he slipped on purpose or not. Boom, right up the detector. And it's just the same as the blood alcohol thing. If you don't take it, all right. If you say you're not going to take it, then it's just...
positive.
You're guilty.
Yeah.
That goes down as a positive. And by the way, in capital offense ones where we're going to put you in the chair, if you don't pass, we'll send you through a couple more times and then we'll do a little supplemental whatever.
Nice.
But just for most of the stuff, just pass it through. Wouldn't you be satisfied with that?
Yes.
And if you had this piece of technology that you knew scientists, that the world scientists worked on, and it worked, and Robert Blake went through and it's like, green light, you'd be like, all right.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Well, we better start. Look, now we have a system where, Blake's going home. OJ's going home. You guys going to look for the killer? No. What about the police? You guys going to? No, we're satisfied. But you're satisfied that the guy went home. Yeah. But we're not looking for anybody.
He was our man.
He was our man, and he's at home. It's like, really? No, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. You know you have a good lawyer, by the way. Man, do you know you have a good lawyer when you get off for murder. It's like, not guilty. All right, I'm going home. And the cops are like, well, we're done. You got a good lawyer. I mean, just think about how good a lawyer you have.
That was OJ's thing.
I know.
Even though he initiated a search.
He's still looking.
Oh, yeah.
I know. He's moved to Florida. He's got him tracked down in the Everglades. No, I'm saying, just close your eyes and think about how good your goddamn lawyer is when you go home and the cops go home, too.
Yeah.
Nah, we're done.
There you go.
All right, I have a plot summary for The Flying Nun.
Thank you.
1967, the large headgear on the 90-pound Sister Bertelli, of the Covenant in
Sister Bertrill, I beg
Bertrill,
your pardon.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can't read
San
it.
San Marcos
really far away.
Or
I
something.
I need new glasses. Huh? In Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Enables her to fly in any stiff breeze.
Yeah.
See, there's no.
They all had
habits
like that, Adam. They all did.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, hers had starch in it. The starch used to be a big thing, everybody. I don't know what happened to starch. You used to be able to ask for extra starch. There was tons of comedy about guys who got too much starch in their shirts and walked like the Tin Man. There was a lot of starch humor.
Starch
would snap. The opera singers would snap, would roll up in their face like a blind.
What the hell?
Yeah.
All right, now, Adam, you've been asking for this kind of call.
Destiny.
We aim to please. Destiny's 21.
Hello?
Yeah, big boobs.
Yep.
What's up?
Well, you guys were wanting somebody to call with big boobs, so here I am.
She should be on the Blake jury.
Or
well,
an auctioneer.
Here we are. Yeah.
Yodeling? She could yodel.
Yeah, I didn't. I never imagined it would go like this, Destiny. I thought it'd be different. What's up? How big are your boobs?
36 double D.
36 double D. All right. How big's the rest of you?
I'm 5'5 and I weigh 132.
Mm hmm. 132 specific. I like that.
You believe it.
All right. Sound like a knockout. What's going on?
Nothing. Just listening to your guys' show.
All right.
Every night.
Yeah, thank you. You have a boyfriend?
No.
Why not? What a waste.
I got to keep my options open, you know?
Oh, it's an opportunity cost, Adam. How dare you?
Yeah, what options? So where are you going? What's going on?
Oh, well, I work at a massage place right now.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean? What kind of massage place?
I do massages.
Hold on,
you know,
write that down.
Not nothing like for medical problems or anything. I just work at a massage place.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be any kind of medicinal massage. Like,
you're not a massage therapist.
Are you licensed?
No.
No.
You just rub people down.
Yeah.
What do you wear when you give these folks a massage?
Just whatever.
Hold on a second.
Let's recap. Works in a massage place.
No.
Works in a massage place, and there she gives massages.
Right.
And she wears whatever.
I work in a massage place. Yeah. You need to interview me, Drew.
I'm sorry. Well, what do you do there?
Give massages.
What do you wear while you're giving these said massages?
Just whatever.
And I see. Very, very colorful, entertaining picture.
Yes. You said to call, so I called. Destiny?
Yeah?
So you just wear your street clothes?
Yeah, you can just wear whatever you want. It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
Why does it matter?
Well, because they don't have, outfits to massage out of.
I see. Don't wear the white smocks or anything.
No, and what's your specialty? Do a nice shiatsu or deep tissue?
I don't even know what that is.
All right. This is a pro.
Does she... you want to ask?
Is there any kind of sexual contact involved?
No.
No?
No.
Whatever? Do you get propositioned?
Yeah.
You do?
Do you ever date these guys?
No.
What if a guy said, I will give you $500, but I need a little help finishing off? Would you help him?
No, I don't think so.
No?
And
no.
What kind of place is this, like in a mini mall? I mean, where is this place?
No, it's Potosi, Missouri.
Oh,
it's not in Mini Mall. It's in Potosi.
Listen, that's better. I thought she was going to say it was out on Carter Road or something, you know. It's out in Potosi. Yeah. Let me tell you something about Potosi, Missouri. It's a little out of the way in terms of getting a rub down, but it's worth the drive.
For Destiny.
I'm talking about for us.
No, but I mean to...
Oh, to see Destiny, yes. Yeah, I'm just saying Potosi in general is a good place to get a rub down. Destiny does great work. Yeah, a lot of people head over the hill to Burke Williams over here on Sunset.
That's a waste of time.
I'm just saying, if you just keep going about another 27 hours without stopping, hit Potosi. Get yourself a nice 50-minute rub down in a sauna,
and then
just a short 30 hours back to L.A. Destiny?
Yeah?
How much do you make?
$8 an hour.
$8 an hour. This is sort of...
I'm perplexed, I'm intrigued.
This is the equivalent of your carpet cleaning. This is the Missouri answer to that.
How much... Now, do you get tips?
No, not usually.
Wow. I can't for the life of me. I mean, I know we come from L.A. where it's like, you know, you get your dog a cuticle push while you're feng shuiing your junk.
Yeah, yeah.
In some you know, gay guys just slapping you with a hibiscus leaf, but what the hell is going on over here? $8 an hour, no tip?
What are the, what do your customers
what
do, pay?
What do they charge for massage?
Well, usually it's around like $50 for 30 50? Minutes.
For 30? What other kinds of massages are going on in this place?
That's it. You put like a towel around you, and then you do the back and arms and stuff like that.
You have a towel around you?
Huh?
A towel around you or the customer?
No, the customer. The customer. One does. Yeah. Yeah. Is this a $1 million baby? No. All right, so listen, Destiny, you got to ask for a raise, because if you give someone a massage for half an hour and
they're paying $100 an hour.
And no, half an hour.
But I'm saying,
yeah, I know. They give $50 and you get $4.
It's not good.
And no tip. They don't tip you?
You deserve more. It makes you wonder how this sounds like an ill repute type of operation.
It's not licensed. Let me ask you something, Destiny.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to ask some questions, see if I can get to the bottom of this. Is there an Asian broad at the counter?
No.
No. Do they have one of those lamps that has the fishing string hanging down and the oil dripping down the side with the fake grapes?
No.
No. Any red velvet anywhere?
Do they have tanning booths here?
Yeah, they do have tanning beds.
Tanning booths.
I'm onto it.
Any beads separating any rooms?
No.
But are they all under the same ceiling, just with dividers?
No, they're different rooms.
Okay. All right. Well, you demand a raise, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just doing it because, you know, I want to go to be a massage therapist, so then I just went there until do that.
All right, baby doll. Well, listen, I don't see why someone who's a 5'5", 132 with a double D set needs to work at all. In my world, we'll just put you aside and worship you. You know what I love about the people who call this show? It's they're all like they're like game shows. It's like, what's my line?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, would what you do involve tools? No. Next. are you someone we may have seen on TV before? No. Next question. See what she do, Drew?
Do you
work in a? Do you work outdoors? Sorry, no. We're out of questions. Sorry. Flip them all over. It's fun. Makes it fun.
Takes a little while.
Takes like 20 minutes to figure out what people do when they call the show, but it still makes it kind of a game, you know? It's like 20 questions. Yeah. Let me give you guys a... forget it.
What?
Well, let me... Remember, I've said this before, that the best person to do for that 20 questions game is Evel Knievel.
Why? Yeah. I never heard
this. And then they ended up doing it in the... in a movie.
Wow.
They end up doing Ocean's 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Many years ago, I discovered that Evel Knievel was the greatest 20 questions person. 20 questions. You get 20 questions to, you know, pick out Einstein.
Well, why is he the greatest?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because it goes like this. Is he a celebrity? Yes. Is he a movie star? No. Is he a television personality? No. Was he on a sitcom? No. Is he a singer? No. But he's been on TV? Yes. And I would know who he is? Yes.
Robert Blake.
And he doesn't sing? No. Does he dance? No. Is he a musician? No.
Newscaster?
No. Yeah, you just keep going. It's no, no, no. And the person's like...
Ice skater?
No. So, hold on. Not an athlete, not a musician, not an actor, not TV, not a writer... Not, and it's like, and they're going, I know this person. I guarantee you know who it is. And that's how you get Evel Knievel, everybody.
Right.
All right. Thank you. Bravo. And they ripped it off in Ocean's 11.
Bravo.
Thank you. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Or go ahead, Drew.
Hey, I'm looking again for couples tonight who are newly married. We want to, for the television show Discovery Health Channel, if you call in tonight, we'd like to put you on TV discussing sexual relationships early in a marriage. Also, looking for husbands and wives to sit down with me and have sort of a powwow session about questions about marriage and what happens in your sexual relationship. And then finally, one last thing. I'm going to be in here at 9 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. 1-800-LOVE-191, taking calls on cheating. If you've had trouble getting through, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Pacific time. Tomorrow being the, what's the date today? 16th. So tomorrow will be the 17th?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow the 17th. So those of you hearing this tomorrow, it's actually today.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, St. Patrick's Day. I'll be at 9 o'clock instead of partying. I'll be here at 9 o'clock taking calls on cheating.
Yeah. Let me scream something real quick. Now, everything reminds me of something that makes me angry. Mm. But I don't want to hear these goddamn hangover tips that end with...
I've got the best one, Adam. I've got the best one.
What is it, Drew? Pray tell.
Don't drink too much. Or wait a minute. Don't drink at all.
Don't drink that down.
No hangover when you do not drink.
Slow down.
Don't consume too much. Okay.
Nothing worse than that. Every year, New Year's, but they do on St. Patrick's. Who's that? Susie Valdez with hangover tips coming after this. And it's like, all right, what is it? Banana up my ass? It's going to be good. Put some potassium pills or eat a sack of flour. What's it going to be this
banana
time?
Up your ass.
But it's always like, well, eat a nice meal.
Lots
of fluids. For every drink you have yourself a glass of water. And again, of course, the best tip of all, moderation. Hold on, by the way. That's not a tip. That's not a tip because it's like when they do that. The only sure form of birth control, abstinence. That's not a form of birth control. That's what 2-year-olds do that in their crib. You know what I mean? Not the ones who call this show, but that's not a tip. It's not. Yeah, we have some tips on travel safety. How's that go? Stay at home. These are tips?
Yes.
These aren't tips. You telling me not to do the thing that you're going to give me the tip about is not a tip. It's maybe
avoiding.
A warning, but it's avoiding. But it's not a tip.
No.
Hey, let me tell you, why not get the ultimate gas mileage in your car?
How do you do that?
Don't drive the car.
Oh, that's infinity.
Yeah.
Infinity gas mileage.
Listen, let's distill it all the way down. Kill yourself. You want to know how to avoid cancer?
Avoid everything.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
Here's a hangover tip. Kill yourself. You want to get better mileage? You never drive again. Kill yourself. Yeah, you a-holes. Of course. You don't drink. You're not going to get hungover.
I think just to make the logic consistent, just say, don't say kill yourself. It's too active. Say, don't be born.
Don't be born.
There you go.
The ultimate hangover tip, never to be born. You should never hear these words passing my lips. Idiots. And by the way, what percentage of time does someone announce they got a nice tip for you that's never a tip? I mean, you know.
80%.
80 to 90% of the time. Does anyone ever give you a tip where you go, hey, there's something?
And because guess what?
There's none. You
wouldn't know it. That's right.
Now, when I tell you to put a little swatch of Velcro on the back of your cell phone sliding out of your sweatpants,
all kinds of tips on this show, tips all the time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Susan?
Hi.
You're 18?
Now, Susan is the caller you took at the very end of last night, I believe.
What's happening, baby doll?
First of all, I want to say that last night that Nancy girl didn't sound hot. She sounded like she had a big nose and hairy nipples. Not attractive.
Wow. Tell that to Drew Scrotum. Drew was very enamored.
No, Nancy.
Oh, Nancy.
Wait a minute. She's a caller.
The caller.
Oh, wait. Who
looking
was in here
what?
Last?
We had
I thought
Elizabeth
you were talking about Elizabeth. Wait, who is Nancy? The sun's mainly just, it's all gases.
Her.
Burning gas. And she's like, no effing what? Yeah.
I don't remember. What was the call about?
Nancy was the one who called from Seattle, who was 30, wanted to know why she couldn't get
she loved you.
Good
she, wanted
man.
She wanted a Jewish guy.
Dropped the F-bomb couple times.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, listen.
I tell when a radio person's lying, saying they're hot.
Yeah. Harry.
Well, they're not lying. They actually believe it.
They think they're hot, yeah.
You can just tell that they're not.
Right,
she wouldn't pass my lie detector test, by
What's
the way.
Going
I mean,
on?
It wouldn't work
she would.
On her. No,
it,
yeah, it wouldn't work on her because she's delusional.
Right.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, well, since I was 15, I haven't been out of a relationship, really. I've had, like, 10 or 15 boyfriends.
Yeesh.
And the last relationship I had was I had an affair with this guy. He's 26.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
He had a girlfriend and a couple kids.
Sounds like a delight.
It sounds horrible, but we were really, really in love. And
sure.
No.
Now.
No. Susan, no, you weren't.
I was in love with him.
Okay,
well,
that
right.
I believe.
We'll go with that. So now what?
But now it's over, and I'm really depressed and really, like, can't even go a day without, not, without, like, I can't function.
And why is it over?
Are you stalking him?
No. I mean, sorry, sorry.
Wow. Funny, I just gave my little tale of woe about Nancy dropping the F-bomb twice, and 28 seconds later, Susan dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah, she had to ring in with her version.
F no. What? Hell no, not going to cut it?
How about just no?
I don't understand that. But hell no, I understand. I don't know why.
But
no.
F no.
Are you guys still dating? F no. So it's more efficient to say no, really.
Get on with the call.
Yeah.
Well, at least she had the self-awareness to sort of try to backpedal.
She did backtrack by saying fudge 10 minutes later.
Well, then she said, I mean.
No, I know. Here's the thing. If you do drop the F-bomb or the S-bomb, you may as well just ride it out. You're going back and turning it into fudge or a shamalama ding-dong doesn't really work.
In fact, you know, it's kind of interesting. That kind of, I'm sorry, makes me wonder about what kind of, you know, horrible stuff was directed her way. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
As soon as she transgresses, then says,
I didn't get that, but go ahead, Susan.
So I'm wondering if maybe things that have happened to me in the past just caused me to have this.
So what happened?
The first guy I ever kissed.
No, before that. Long before that.
Kid, dad.
My mom's in a mental hospital.
There we go. What is she for?
What did she do before?
What is she in for?
Schizoaffective disorder. I don't really know a lot about it.
It's pretty heavy. It's a thought disorder like schizophrenia, though not with all the prominent hallucinations, and it's a character illness, so there's lots of aggression and acting out.
Ooh.
And all kinds
horrifying
of
for a kid. And what about your dad?
My dad remarried. I lived with him, and my stepmom wanted me out, so they kicked me out when I turned 18.
What was your dad like most of the time?
He's a nice guy. I'm still have a relationship with him. He's just.
Am I right that you know
he
if you
have a backbone.
If you said anything bad to your mom, she would really lash out at you.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, this
get along.
But when you said that F word, and then you were like, I'm sorry. That was sort of such a profound reaction.
Oh, but we have people do that on the show. They just catch themselves.
Felt...
I don't want you to hang up on me.
So your dad's an invertebrate like my dad?
Yeah.
All right.
Know what that means.
Oh, okay.
Plesiopod.
Yeah, plesiopod. No, he's got no spine.
Slenderate.
I want to know how things like that can have a play in how I have relationships now and how to break out of that pattern, because it seems almost self-destructive. And
it is self-destructive. It's basically one of the prominent features of the pattern that you're in is that people that are attractive to you are versions of your mom or your dad that were traumatizing to you in childhood. In other words, the things that made your mom sick were things that were horrifying to you as a childhood. The sense of horror becomes somehow in our brain when we hit puberty, young adulthood. Those horrible things are converted into sources of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And people have theorized many different ways about why that's the case, but I think it's just the fact that our brains do that. And it's thought of as perhaps a way of trying to finish unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And of course, your sense of who you ultimately love was your mom or your dad. And naturally enough, that's what love is to you. And so that kind of person is very appealing to you. And to have to finish something that was so horrible in childhood, try to make it right, it's very powerful.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you don't sound stupid, Susan. But why did this 26-year-old guy break up with you? Or did you break up with him?
It's like we hated each other, but we loved each other. We were always fighting.
All right, listen. Okay.
He liked having sex with you.
Right.
And you
start getting attached.
Hated, loved him. And interestingly, again, that sense of horror and hate and all that increases your attachment needs.
Mm.
As humans, we don't run into caves when we get scared. We run to other humans.
Mm.
And so the person you're going to for those attachment needs is the source of the horror. It really intensifies your need to attach to them.
Mm.
So even though you hated him and all this chaos erupted, that made you hold on even tighter to him. And that's why I asked about stalking, because it's sort of a setup for a stalking situation.
Listen, here's what you need to do. Get some therapy. Don't get pregnant for a while. Perhaps
quite a while.
Dabble a little lesbianism.
Therapy's too expensive.
All right, do something. No, therapy.
Oh, therapy's too expensive.
A lesbian's cheap. Oh. Just find another chick and, off come the gauchos.
Cool-ups.
I don't know what they wear. Here's a point. Susan, you can't afford not to go into therapy, little girl. All right, then listen to some classical music and take a walk.
Okay.
Just try not to act out. Don't do anything weird to yourself, and don't get pregnant.
Another way of looking at this is maybe focus on your education. Don't have any relationships for a few years, so you kind of sort things out.
Mm-hmm.
Be continuing single relationship, bad relationship since you were 15. Stop.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's, Amber?
Yes.
20?
Yes.
26-year-old boyfriend won't have sex with you. Dating 4 months. Only kissed twice.
Yeah.
And he's 26.
26.
You're gay.
What? Yeah,
not
could be gay.
What
kind of?
Gay.
What kind of kissing with the tongue?
Yeah, I mean we kiss a lot, but just with tongue has only been about twice.
He's gay.
And
he's not gay.
No, a lot of most women can tell by how a guy kisses whether he's a man of passion. Does he kiss well?
Yeah, he does.
Does he have any moral or religious beliefs that make it such that he wouldn't want to be?
Not that I know of, and I know his family pretty well. None of them are like that either.
What does he say when you ask him why things aren't moving along?
He says he's just not there yet, and it takes him a while to get there.
Well, that's true.
All right, let's try to break this down.
What's he do for a living?
He works at a hospital. He's an X-ray technician.
Is he on a medication?
No.
Sure. Does he have any medical problems?
Not that I know of.
All right, let's give a few possible scenarios. Number one, gay. Two, gay. Three, gay. Four, gay. Five, gay. Six, gay. Seven, gay. Eight, gay. Nine, gay. Hey, I don't have to keep going, but it goes into
one. First, many
185.
Yeah,
gay.
185.
And
well, he's been married, and he's been divorced for about a year, and I didn't know if maybe that had something to do with it.
No.
I'll tell you what it is. There could be a sexual proclivity thing.
Wait, now, hang on a second. Before you, let's just address this one thing.
He was married before?
Yeah. I mean, is there a scenario that a man can encounter a traumatic experience an adult male can have as a result of being sexual with a woman that would call him off sexuality?
Yeah.
If she exploded, if she caught on fire.
No.
Is there anything that could happen?
No, I know.
That would not have him.
Women think of guys think of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, he had a pretty tough outing with a gal about 6 months ago. That means he's going to, now it's
he's
vengeance.
Doubling down.
It's vengeance banging time.
Oh, God.
Now you're going to feel the brunt of his anger.
Absolutely.
Via his penis.
Is there anything? A mourner runs through the woman while they're having sex.
Your passion is starting to bleed through.
No, but think about it. Can you even come up with a scenario that would call a guy off the hunt?
Guys, if they have a traumatic relationship, are more eager to have sex with the next person
they
encounter.
Angry,
unless the next person they encounter is a couple, four or five notches down from where they came from, and they're not really that into it.
They shouldn't be dating that person.
Yeah, but what happens is what can happen is you're with someone, the love of your life, someone you're very attracted to and what have you.
Watch out. Deep breath.
What happens is that thing comes undone. You end up sliding down a few notches in your mind, or maybe in reality,
too. You're just desperate.
You're looking for a port in a storm. You hook up with somebody. Your heart and mind is still with this other person, and the new person is a good 4.5 when an 8.5 went walking out the door. Now that's a scenario where the guy's kind of like, and the guy realizes I ain't going to be around for long.
Well,
I don't want to set the hook.
Right. That is a guy I don't want to deal with the fact that I'm attached to this person. I don't want to be attached to.
I don't want to. Yes. They feel like.
Or I don't want her attached to me. I feel guilty.
It's like I'm going to rob a liquor store, but I won't use a gun in case I get caught. It won't be any big deal.
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to set the hook.
Right.
I'll be in a relationship. We can go as long as we want. We can see as many movies as we like and eat as much Chinese takeout as we like.
As long as
I don't screw you, we're cool.
Yeah.
No complaints. You can't convict me in any court in the life.
That is somebody, though, you're not seeing that guy every night. That guy's kind of around.
No, so you got that guy, then you got confused sexuality guy, and then you got guy who is banging around and just has a conscience. Now, not really a conscience, but what I mean is there's something going on in somewhere the sexual else. Department with somebody else. He could even have venereal disease or something like that, and you're just really not getting the straight
story. But
again,
that's another guy. That guy ain't coming over every night. He's going to show up once every week or two.
Amber?
Uh-huh.
Which guy could this guy be?
Well, I don't think it's the gay thing.
All right. I'll go with that. Keep going.
I really don't know. I mean...
Are you attractive?
Yes. And actually, the whole thing about her being better, that's not it at all, because she's not attractive at all. And I know I look better than she does.
All right. And then what about... Did she break his heart? Did she cheat on him with her best friend? Yeah, Drew's probably right. But is he really pining for her? Is he longing for her?
Or is he
still
seeing her?
Is he still seeing her? Is it possible he's seeing her or somebody else?
It's possible.
That's what this is.
Then this could be it. And he could be a decent guy who just...
doesn't want to set a hook in you when he knows he's still partially in with this old one.
Either way, we could speculate for another 15 minutes.
None of it's good.
No, that's what we're... No, I'm saying we're going to speculate for another 15 minutes. Good. He could be... No.
No, none of it's any good for you.
You need to talk to him and figure it out. But here's the thing. You need an answer. All you broads, you do this all the time where it's like, he beats me and then he cries and then he makes on my chest. Well, did you ask him to stop? No. Well, did you ask him why he did? No. Feel free to ask. Here's what happens. I asked him. What'd he say? He wouldn't tell me.
He was tired.
He said he was tired. Yeah. No, you need an answer.
Hey, not only that, the reason you guys don't ask the questions is you know what the answer is. You're scared of it.
That's a good point.
So come on.
All right. And no answer is not an answer.
Right.
And you have to not be afraid to hear what the answer might be.
This guy has got to be still with that girl.
Thank you.
And by the way, this relationship is going on for months and months, and it doesn't progress for no reason.
Right.
Stop trying to make reason. Try to figure out why it happens. Go to the source.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Say what? Gotta get it on. Ain't no choice but to get it on.
Hey, I'm still looking for newlywed couples who are willing to talk to me about their sexual relationships, and husbands and wives sit down in a group and talk about it.
Yeah.
Love line.
Yeah. Kim.
Yes.
20.
Yes.
30-year-old boyfriend has bad coke problem.
Very bad.
How much coke is he doing a week, let's say?
Oh, he can go on coke benches for 3 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's an average binge. He's probably smoking cocaine then.
Yeah, he knows he snorts it.
Really?
Yeah, he snorts it.
You sure he's not smoking it?
Not that I know of.
He's smoking it. 3 day binges are smoking.
What's a gram cost these days?
To be honest, I don't know.
I hear it's cheap. It's like 30, 40 bucks a gram.
Yeah, he's smoking crack. I guarantee it.
I got to get in a coke. It's cheap.
What's your question?
It used to be expensive.
Like, every time I bring up the fact that I wanted to quit, he throws the hugest fit and gets all pissed. Sorry, I'm mad at me.
He's a drug addict. He's not going to stop because you want him to stop.
I know, but...
How long have you two been together?
2 years.
Why are you with another drug addict?
I love him.
Didn't she catch the nuance of that question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Is your dad a drug addict?
No, nobody in my family is.
But you've never
been with
him?
Alcohol?
No. My mom used to be an alcoholic, but not anymore.
Okay. That was then when you were a kid and a sponge and absorbing everything, but not anymore.
To be honest, I never really knew she was.
You knew.
You feel it.
And I asked why you were involved with another addict or alcoholic.
I don't know. I didn't know at the time he was doing it when we first started.
You're not answering my question.
Well, you're being cryptic, Drew.
Have you been involved with other addicts or
alcoholics? No.
Never?
Never.
All right. She's 20. Give her time.
All right.
All righty. So here's the thing that I always hear Drew say over and over. You can basically just lay it down. Either he gets help or you split.
That's it. That's all you can do.
I've done that a couple times.
All right. Well, that's time to split. You didn't split, though.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
you lay down the law, but you didn't enforce it.
The only thing that will get him to stop is cumulative loss and or a belief that he's going to die if he continues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not going to stop because of you.
What's
it's unfortunate.
He do? Does he he's sell something?
No, he's a lawyer.
Lawyer. Look out. All right. Is he?
You're doing him a great service. By
how about you help him out by? To where the bar?
A lot of places you could report him.
Really?
Getting him caught and.
Well, how do you report it? What do you mean?
Oh, ouch!
What do? You call the cops?
Call the cops, yeah.
What are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. I don't even know. Look, I tried calling a 911 a few months ago. It was just on,
I know,
put on.
I know.
It was busy for like 20 minutes, and I said, "Screw it! I don't know if you can call the cops for anything
it's
anymore."
Pretty bad. Kim, there's an organization called the Other Bar in Los Angeles. Look up the Other Bar, and they can maybe get a recovering attorney to come talk to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called the Other Bar.
Wow! So this is attorneys helping other attorneys.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is there a group where publicists kill publicists?
That'd yeah, I gotta awesome get that line. That went off the air. I can't disclose.
Okay. Check that out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, Loveline. Madam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right, let's rock.
Here we go.
Back to the phones we go. Aaron?
Hey, what's
17?
Up,
Adam? How's it going?
Pretty good. Man, I just got to say, I love your show, Adam. You're the man. You're the man, Adam. Drew, lots of love. To my question, like, I just pierced my lip, like, half an hour ago. I read a lot of things online about it. Like, it might be shifting, and, like, I didn't find anything good on, like, how it can, how to clean it out and stuff, and, like, what could happen to it if it gets infected and stuff.
If it gets infected, you get a nice staph or a strep, and it heads on over towards your head, and, you can die. It's no big deal.
It's awesome. Hey,
or a flesh-eating bacteria, you get a fasciitis, and it'll advance in a couple minutes.
It never
minutes.
Seems to happen, though. Well, what do you do? Hey, do you have something going through your lip right now?
Fasciitis.
No. What I did was I took a, Adam, you're familiar with these. I took a finishing needle, or finishing, finishing nail.
Yeah.
And I started that out.
Let's call them finish nails. What size?
Crap, it was a half inch. It wasn't too big. It was sort of small.
Yeah.
And I took a sewing needle, and I started that through, and then I just pushed the pin through, or the the ring.
How do you figure infection start, Aaron?
Infection fairy?
What do you think happens? It makes an infection.
What Adam said.
Yeah. All right, well, look.
Infections occur when a body part is pierced and the external world gets in.
That's what happens.
Bacteria gets into the tissue as a result of being open to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen here.
Mm.
That's just what's going to happen. It's going to be awful.
Well, is it going to have to happen, or might it happen?
I think it's probably going to happen.
Why? Because he used a finish nail?
Yeah, he used a knitting needle to...
Well, what if he soaks it in alcohol?
Zero.
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 Good, because I never do that. Everyone always says, hey, don't lance that zit with that thing that fell off the ground.
When you're lancing something that's already loaded with bacteria, and you're trying to stay within the abscess, not get into the surrounding tissue, that's a little different.
I actually use fecal matter as a pin cushion, though. Is that bad?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's the greatest
I don't
selection.
Let my pins just roll around in my bathroom drawer. I will use a clump of fecal matter and have them all stuck into it so I can get the different gauges,
that's
different
quite
sizes.
Quite a statement.
Yeah, I have to replace. I got to say, though.
And you only use little pens with little balls on the top, too, right?
Yeah. The fecal matter will dry up every couple of weeks, so I have to replace it with a fresh fecal.
It's hard to push the nails through, the pins through that, right?
As it gets older, pieces will crack off.
Pieces fall, yeah.
It's very, it's unappealing.
And it loses its nose. It's aroma.
Yeah, it's bouquet, yeah. No, I'll go ahead and drop a fresh duty in there. Every 10 to 15 days, depending on the weather. You know, when it's been cool and moist, the dookie will last a little longer. But during the summer months, once a week.
Who are we talking to?
I don't know. But the point is if I lance it, if I got an ingrown hair or zit or something and I hit it with a pin, no big deal.
An ingrown hair that you hit with a pin. Again, you can stir up infection that way. You can.
But I am within a infected area
if
already.
If you're just dropping into a cavity, yes, you're within the cavity.
So, okay, this is interesting to me. So if you have a zit, let's just say you got a zit, you just take a pin and you drop it into that pore that zit is forming in.
If you can stay in the outside world, you should be pretty good.
Or the inside world.
But let me have
stay point. Within that one infected pore.
Yes, the pore, you know, this is the pore.
Yeah.
This is the outside
drawing
world
what looks
here.
Like a vase,
you
a vase.
In there,
yeah,
right, you're fine.
You drop it right in. Now, if you get outside, now why? Why can't you infect what's already infected? Is that what's going on?
Because the infection is out here. The infection's out here, and you can stir it up and make the infection sort of keep breeding, get worse, but just by increasing the inflammation.
But if,
if all you're doing is releasing this, you're
But if you're bringing bacteria in,
but this is already this is already infected area.
All right. So if you take a part of your body,
and it's the outside world too.
If you, what's the outside world?
The inside of the pore.
Now that it's opened up, or in general?
In general, it's the outside world.
All right. So. But if you push something through, you're going from the outside to the inside. Now, why is rubbing alcohol no good or not effective at all?
Not worth a damn. It's not better than nothing. It's better
Down with it after you get a shot.
It's better than your stool infected stool.
That dare you?
Feces covered.
That's my better ideas.
Yeah, but it's really not. You can't rely upon it to sterilize.
All right, you're saying you can't rely upon it, but still, if you had your choice and someone was going to put something,
one of your Dookie pins or a alcohol sterilized knitting needle.
You go alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I wonder, you know, the people that have the fortitude to pierce themselves, there's a part of me that respects it and goes, well, I could never do that. That person's got something. And then there's a part where I think, oh, they're incredibly effed up.
It's both.
It's usually incredibly effed up.
Of course.
But still, they can hold their hand steady and push a spear through
it's
them.
Both.
Yeah, giving them a little something. Marie?
Hi.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been dating this guy for a year and a half, and we've been going off and on a lot. And he says that he doesn't want to be with me, but he won't tell me that he doesn't love me and doesn't want anything with me.
He
just keeps sleeping with you, what you're saying.
He does want to be with you?
He says that he does and says that he doesn't. It's off and on.
So. Hang on. He says that he wants to break up, but he keeps sleeping with you. Is that a more accurate way of saying it?
Yeah, he keeps...
All right, him wanting to break up and him sleeping with you are two entirely separate topics.
He really comes back and apologizes and says, I want to be with you. I want to marry you one day. All this stuff is confusing me.
Yeah, well, then he has sex on you, right?
Right.
And then he wants to take off again.
Yeah.
Not necessarily right away.
Sometimes he goes for a double shot.
Yeah, sometimes he's going to go for a couple hours before he splits out.
Refractory period.
Oh, yeah.
He gets back into it.
Okay.
All right. We don't like this guy. We don't trust this guy. What's he do for a living?
He runs a company.
Again, a vivid picture.
What kind of company?
Computer parts. Computer parts.
Yeah. He makes a good living?
He does okay for himself, yeah.
Where did you meet him? Did you work for him?
I actually applied for a job, and then he hired me, and then agreed when I started dating that I wouldn't work for him anymore. So never really got that.
It's sort of an interesting. You never actually worked for him.
She applied for a job. He hired her.
Yeah, I mean, how about I worked for him for a while?
What'd you do? Work with this guy? No, not at all. What happened was, I underwent I filled out an application and went back on a few callbacks. Eventually, I was hired on under his. He was my immediate supervisor, and he began banging me when they keep the vending machines. But no.
then I agreed to quit.
Then I went ahead and quit, and he kept banging me. But no, I didn't meet him at work. No, that's what you're saying. It's interesting.
Wow. I like just going back to the hiring process.
I'm
going to
say, well.
Not just hiring, the job application process.
When I left high school. In 99, my counselor told me that I had a capacity for doing computer and clerical work. At that point in time, I went ahead and filled out an application for said
company. A few applications, a few companies, and one hired me.
You worked for him.
Marie?
I haven't worked for him, actually.
How did you two meet?
I went in for an interview, and I was supposed to start, but before I did, I actually met with him one-on-one and then agreed that I wouldn't work for him, and I haven't.
And he picked you up as in the interview process.
Right.
He's a lovely guy.
Even creepier, really.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
All right, well, I can see. He's 27. I don't like this guy.
You just get out of this, Marie.
He's 27. You're 20. He's not really into it.
This is what you call a dysfunctional relationship. Get out. You got to put a complete moratorium on this guy. Cut him off. Change your phone number if you have to. And every time you lay your eyes on this guy or have a phone conversation with him, know that the clock starts ticking again on your getting over this.
And you never ended up getting the job, huh?
Marie? What the hell?
I don't know. Did she hang up? Sometimes our phones are screwing. We can't hear people. Marie? No, she hung up. All right. I think you basically told her a bunch of stuff she didn't really want to hear.
I guess.
And people don't respond well to that. Is that Cherry?
Yeah.
Cherry?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to know if a girl loses her virginity to a guy right now, does she get attached than a guy?
You mean as a young person, if you're having sex with somebody, does that make you more attached than maybe you're prepared to be?
Yeah. We're going to go with yes.
The answer is yes.
Hey, it does it 25 and 28 and 32.
But it really does it at 15, 16, 17. You're not really sort of developmentally prepared or biologically.
It's like everything. Yeah, the difference between 25 and 15, it's the same with everything.
As with 15 and 5, if something horrible happened to you at 5.
Yeah, you lose a parent at 5, you lose a parent at 15, you lose a parent at 25.
All different.
Okay.
Why? What do you got going?
I'm just scared to let go.
Of your hymen?
Huh?
Or of the guy that took your hymen?
Who do you want to let go of?
Well, I don't want to let go of my boyfriend.
You know, are you going to have to let go of him if you don't have sex with him?
Well, he's graduating.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Where's he going to go?
UCLA.
Oh. Really? Mm-hmm. Huh? He's going to go there and sell watches to co-eds, right? What's he doing there? He's going to college there?
Yeah.
Asian kid?
No.
Now I'm really confused. He's a good student?
Yeah.
All right. He's going away to UCLA. You're in the 9th grade?
No, 10th. Yeah.
You're 15. He's going to college.
He's 17.
Is he 17?
Yeah.
When's he going to be 18?
On January. Well, yeah, next year.
Okay, so he turned 17 just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. It helps. But now he's not going away to college for another 4 or 5 months, right?
Yeah.
Does he want to break up in the meantime?
Yeah. Well, I won't let go, but I'm scared of...
Is he wanting to break up now?
No.
Well, Cherry, you understand why we're confused?
Do you think he will break up with you if you don't have sex with him?
Oh, they're already having sex.
Oh, are they already having sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you already having sex?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were asking if you should or not.
No, she's saying I'm too attached, but I need to let go because he's going away. But then he's not going away. And he doesn't want to break up. So why are you breaking up?
Yeah, he's not leaving town, really.
Is it to break up this over-attachment you've got? You don't want the attachment to go in further?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to be too attached.
Where's Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't live with him.
Shocking.
I can't believe that.
What happened to him? Where is he?
Well, I don't know. I don't really care about him.
Mm-mm.
You don't really care about him. So this is the guy you really do care about. You got to sabotage this thing.
Now we're getting to it.
No, stay with this guy. He's fine.
Yeah, we like him. He's going to UCLA. Where's your dad? Where is he?
He's in Torrance.
Oh, there you go.
And you don't see him very often.
No, yeah, we do.
And you just don't like him.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you like him?
I don't know. I've never liked him.
All righty then. Well, say, listen, in 3 years, when you get to junior college, say hi to Engineer Chris. All right?
Okay.
All right. All right, baby.
Stay with the guy, please.
Stay with him.
Huh?
Yeah, I want everyone when now they're in the 9th, 10th, 11th grade, but they're heading for JC. They'll be there in 2-3 years. Just make sure you pull Engineer Chris aside and say, hey, 3 years ago, I was in the 9th grade. I remember us talking to that a-hole Adam. He said to say hi to you. Still taking the same math class. Oh, okay.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Wait, 34. Okay.
Mazel tov.
Okay. Yeah. No one knows what mazel tov means in junior college. They don't have Jews there, Drew.
That's right.
You know that?
Forgot.
They would, except for the problem with the Jewish parents killing themselves.
Yeah,
they
got rampant.
Wants to go to junior college, they had to cut them off.
Yeah.
No more Jews.
Yeah.
Even if a Jew wanted to get in, they wouldn't let him in.
It's a health issue.
Now, here's how you can. You have to get a certificate that says both your parents are dead already.
Oh,
then they'll let you in.
Really?
Yeah. If you have one that's alive, they'll kill themselves.
Rabbi won't kill himself then?
They'll make attempts on their lives, but often not fall through. You know, it cries for help, like lighting their beard on fire. That's how a rabbi kills himself. Or protests a war.
That's good.
Or, yeah. Or it means he's eating fondue.
Nice.
That's a great, it's an awesome religion. Just, let me just say this. Driving out looking at some houses on Sunday. Driving down the Fairfax area there. Saw the Hasidim taking the kids for a walk. You know, see the 9-year-olds with the black derby and the payos and the black duster on. Not child abuse. Not a cult. Really? And then I said, you know, people in the car were arguing with me. That's not child abuse. You just indoctrinate your kid into some fakakta religion that is an old nonsense, and then they get picked on all the time at school, so you have to pull them out of school, and you have to send them to a special school where they can only be surrounded by their own people. And then they spend their whole lives, you know, not being able to plug their washing machine in on a Saturday. That's not abuse? And everyone's like, well, that's a religion. I said, okay, let me ask you guys a question. What would you rather? Your dad occasionally get drunk and beat on you, or you go into the Hasidim? Huh? Which one is it? Yeah.
What they say.
You're goddamn right. You wish your dad would beat on you. You'd be begging your dad to beat your ass every month and a half rather than going to these retarded religions that people drag their kids into. Of course. It'd be the best day of your life. You get to play Little League. You get to have your friends at school. You get to go to proms. You get to go to dates. You don't have to be homeschooled. You get to play video games. On a Saturday, everybody, you get to turn a light bulb on. Awesome. And then here's the trade-off. Once every 3 months, your dad comes home. He had a blowout at work. He's drunk. He's been drinking. He starts smacking on you, screaming for you to put away the toys. Yeah? Or the lifestyle. Grow that payos out. Get the beard going. Wear the black derby in the middle of summer. What do you go for, Drew? Yeah.
I get beat on.
Of course. I was just saying, everyone, please. Enough respect with the religion. Nutty cult religions. All of them. Stop it. All I'm saying is let's stop pretending like we care and respect it. Most of these things are ridiculous. If people want to do what they want to do, let them do what they want to do. Just shut up about it. And let's stop being so tolerant.
Well, be tolerant, but don't be dishonest.
Yeah, the Jews and the Arabs are blowing each other up over there. We can't judge. It's all good. It's all good. You know what they're doing? I mean, who are we? We can't judge. I mean, it's fine. I mean, we respect it. It's good. It's a good thing. It's fantastic. Okay. What day is it, Drew?
17,
Wednesday?
16.
Wednesday? 17? Oh, it's got... Well, weekend's coming up. It'll be over.
Sure.
It'll be over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problems. Yeah, trouble in the Middle East?
No.
Nah. Yeah, it'll be over by Friday.
Sure.
Friday, Saturday, latest.
Just a little trouble.
Latest. It's just going to blow right over. Yeah, yeah. No, let's not judge. Everything's beautiful. Everyone's right. Everyone's a genius. And utmost respect for all of you and your nut job religions. It's fantastic with you. And by the way, you're all right. Every one of you is right. You're all going to wherever place you're going to and praying to whoever you're going to. It's all right. Everything's right. Everyone's a winner. Fantastic. Samantha?
Yeah?
Oh, you would take that drunken dad beating the crap out of you once a month, any day over going into one of these retarded religions. And I don't care if it's, you know, if it's the Judaism or it's the Shakers or Quakers or look, what's a cult? What's a cult? Somebody define a cult.
But that's one guy to get laid.
That's true. Samantha, this is a whole bunch of guys, none of them getting laid. That's the difference. Go ahead, Samantha.
I was wanting to ask Drew if there was such thing as an addiction to, like, sex and porn.
Absolutely. It's one of the most common or rapidly growing populations right now is internet porn addiction.
Mm.
Is that you?
I don't know. I've been wondering that.
Well, what do you got?
With women,
your schedule.
Women usually get into sexual addictions through love and intimacy addictions.
Mm-mm.
So if you're going to be a porn addict, it's usually going into chat rooms and sort of having sex.
What's love and intimacy addictions?
It's really having the closeness and the relationship part bleeding into the sexual compulsions. Mm-hmm. So you enter in through chat rooms and that sort of thing.
Mm.
And then it kind of goes down the path into the more explicit sexuality.
So you want the intimacy, you want the connection.
That's the door through which you enter.
Mm-hmm. Mine's the back door.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's my internet site.
I know.
Back door. All right, Samantha. So what are you doing?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like I'm addicted to porn or something. Like, I'll rent them off a TV and record them all the time and all kinds of stuff.
What's your preference?
Everything.
Were you exposed to a lot of these things when you were a kid growing up?
Can your preference be everything?
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite team? All of them?
All of them. Everything. Right. I love everything. Samantha.
So you like everything.
Were you exposed to a lot of porn growing up?
No.
No. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Hmm. Sounds disappointed.
And do you spend a lot of time and energy with the porn?
Yeah, I watch it all the time. Mm. And I'm married, and I'm more into it than my husband. I figured a guy would be more into it than a girl.
They tend to be. What do you mean you watch it all the time? What does that mean?
Like, I don't know, like every night. I just want to put one in, and I watch them. I don't know.
For how long?
Till the whole movie's over. I got like 3 of them on a tape.
Same 3?
No, I have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, share the wealth, baby.
She sounds exactly like our caller earlier in the night.
Yes, she sounds exactly like the Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah.
They're Missouri chicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot. Yeah.
Is that where she's from, Million Dollar Baby?
I don't know, but that obviously Hillary Swank was going after that voice.
Yeah.
No, that's hot. Missouri, I picture just a raft lashed together with the reeds. Someone watching porn on it.
Everyone on the Mississippi.
Yeah, just pushing off.
I'm from Missouri.
You're from Missouri?
Oh, yeah. Imagine that.
Oh, okay. I had you from Orange County. Okay, Missouri. Well, there you go. Well, now it's all making sense. Let me ask this. Are you masturbating?
No.
When you look at these things?
No, I'm married, so I use my husband.
So you use it as a way of getting sexually active with your husband?
I don't have to, no, but I don't know. I always want to watch them, and then...
How long have you been doing this for? How long have you been doing this for?
About 4 years.
Hmm. Now, here's what I'm saying. You want to sit there and watch an entire porno movie... Which some of those scenes can be as long as 17 minutes. Drew.
Wow.
Yeah, for a whole, you know, for a big budget one.
Wow.
Now, you want to watch an entire movie beginning to end, but not necessarily engage in any physical contact? Just sit there and watch it all the way through?
Well, no. Every time I watch it, I do something. I have to, you know. I can't just sit there and watch it.
With your husband, though.
Do you masturbate?
I have before, but usually my husband's here.
Right.
And he does something to you.
Yeah.
But then, do you have an orgasm?
Yeah.
And then can you move on and, you know...
Or do you keep watching?
Well, I just move on. But then, later on that day, I'll watch it again. I'll watch one again.
Mm-hmm. Do you have kids?
I have one.
All right. That's it's about a half too many. I was going to say one too many, but I'm breaking it in half.
I'll give you
like 2 arms and part of a forehead and 1 eye.
She's not as bad as our callers that we don't
know. No, she's not. Yeah. She's not. All right, Samantha. This is Drew. Stop me if you disagree. Some people are colossally effed up because of the horrible abuse they've suffered in the past, and some people have sort of chemical imbalances and that sort of thing, and some people have addiction problems. Samantha is sort of. Her obsession is fueling her obsession. She's sort of declared that this is something I'm into and now obsesses with it. And it's sort of like, it's like when you get a cut or something and you keep messing with it and you're not a cutter.
Yeah, it reminds me of like an Afghan, a dog that gets a cut and the dog keeps chewing on it.
Yes.
You can't get it to stop.
It's like something got it started.
Right.
Something happened, and now you've sort of spiraled into it a little bit.
I mean, she's not been sexually abused. She probably was physically abused, so there's got to be some trauma there. But it's not the usual situation for sexual addiction. It's not having consequences. It's just sort of a bothersome habit. Literally, it's like a habit for her.
Yeah, and she's labeling it as an addiction when maybe it really is an addiction,
although
it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And
now she's making it
an
addiction.
And so what? They use this as a marital aid. Big deal.
All right, Samantha.
Yeah?
We've labeled you as not as effed up as you've labeled yourself. So
you have difficulty containing your impulses, clearly.
Yeah.
And you're a little obsessional.
We would like you to
be busy.
Take some control over your life. Focus on your marriage and focus on your child and whatever your hobbies are and whatever else you have, making your home, doing your work, whatever you do.
And go ahead and watch your porn at night with your husband. That's fine.
But let's limit it to 3 nights a week.
No. Limit it to until you orgasm and then you go to bed.
Then you got
to
shut it off.
Then you shut it off.
Right.
That's all. Just to cut it down a little bit here.
All right.
Okay.
It's all right. Ratchet it in just a little. Right. You're all right.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
Although I definitely want her for my television program to talk about marital couples.
Because you got to just tell people they're sane.
Yeah.
Watch, there's a lot of porn.
All right. Again, I'm still looking for newlyweds and husbands and wives to sit down with me on television and talk about their experiences.
We'll
all in.
All right. Take a little break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Love line. Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
And I need you married couples to get off your butts and call in here. We got a whole bunch of newlyweds, but no husbands and wives. Just want to sit down and talk about what it's like, what the sexual relationship becomes like after you've been married a little while. Is it change? Is it not? What's it like? What's your stressors? And then we're going to do that for the Discovery Health Channel. And I'll be taking calls tomorrow night, the 17th that we decided, Michelle, that is, starting at 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. To talk about cheating before the actual love line calls heat up.
There's a part of me that says, what the hell's he doing talking about another show on our show? And there's a part of me that says, he's talking. Who cares? I'll just tune out. Keep talking. What time is it? We got to get out of here.
You're so appreciative when I talk.
I am. It's like,
that's good.
I long, you know, the people... People I don't think understand something, which is, like I watch America. I don't understand a lot of things, but I watch American Idol.
Yeah.
And, you know, the difference between what Paula Abdul does, or any of the judges do, but especially Paula Abdul, because she doesn't really say anything, and what, like, Ryan Seacrest has to do is mountainous.
Yes.
And people don't really, it's like, they all star in the show. As a matter of fact, we like him better than we like him.
No.
Yeah. You know, when you're Ryan Seacrest and... he's an easy guy to make fun of. He does a good job, I think.
He's spinning the
plates. Yeah. First off, you got to remember the name of 12 people, and then you have to sort of recap, and you have to do, we're taking the vote, and here's what's happening, and you guys phoned in, and here's the phone number.
Some conversation going, the rhythm, what are we going in, what are we going out.
Yeah. Paula Abdul's like, I think you did good. And then Simon jumps in.
Yeah.
I mean, a long sentence for her is,
You got it, honey.
Yeah, a long-winded one for her is the song started off slow, but you got into it, and so I liked it. That's about it, and that's only every 10 minutes they just come to her, and no one complains, and there's nothing to do. You just sit there. TV sucks most of the time because there's some teleprompter, some car, and you're always worried. Did I give the phone number out? Did I get the guy's name right? Who's to my right? Who's to my left? What's going on? Nothing better than judging. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, the greatest gig of my life was at new Star Search. I just sat there between Reba
McEntire.
Did
you have to even say anything?
And Ben Stein. And I was like, yeah, they're like, could you keep it to 8 or 10 seconds?
Oh, right,
I was like,
right.
How about I do 3 seconds? You still give me $10,000, right? It was good. Not great, but good. All right. Fantastic. Oh, by the way, genius. Guy's a genius. Needs his own show. nothing better. I want a job where I judge. So here's what I was thinking about. I don't know why, but I polished off a box of Girl Scout cookies today.
Huh.
People,
what kind?
A lot of arguments.
Okay.
Well, I like
Thin Mints.
No.
Savannah's.
No, no. Yeah?
Keep
peanut going. Butter. Keep going. Thank
that's,
you.
That's the Savannahs.
Yes. No, no. Tag-alongs.
Yes.
They're called tag-alongs.
Shut
thanks.
Up! Thanks, sweetie pea. Tag-alongs, much better.
Used to be called the Savannahs, right?
I don't know. Maybe back in the day. Here's my point. There is, and I did go to a car dealership once that just had the trefoils yeah. or whatever. It's white, shortbread, just right. regular cookie.
Sugar.
And I thought, I remember I was just sitting there in like a waiting room. Like, you want some Girl Scout cookies? Oh, yeah, great. When you get the peanut butter or the mint? Look, nah, I got these. What is that? That's the white ones. Those are the ones that are just lard and sugar. Yeah, yeah. What they're Girl Scout cookies. And I thought, well, why would you, or, you know, now I'm getting angry and upset.
Again.
Why would you get those? I just, you know, just get a box of Girl Scout cookies. But you don't want to get the peanut butter ones or the mint ones or how about the Samoas?
Coconut and chocolate ones, the Samoas.
Look, I realize a lot of people are just more animal than human being. Like, you know, if a dog, you know, if a raccoon breaks into your cabin, it's not going for the tag-alongs. He's going for the box. It doesn't matter what's in the box. See what I'm saying?
He's going for the first box he sees.
First box.
Yeah.
Only box, first box, doesn't
box
matter.
Smells. Yeah.
Yeah, and I realize a lot of people are just like, the guy was sort of confused. He was like, I got Girl Scout cookies. You want them or not? I was like, those are the... Yeah, what? Who?
I know.
How low does your self-esteem have to be that you just get the plain sort of vanilla lardy ones that taste like shortbread? Really not like unlike anything you could get anywhere. Why would you do it? Now, Drew, not you. Not a man of passion.
No.
No.
We're going for the thin mints.
Yeah, thin mints is... Thin mints, solid.
Yeah.
Solid.
Frozen thin mints.
Solid. Solid. But the tag-alongs.
Oh, yeah.
That's got the peanut butter and the chocolate. That is rock solid. That's Sears type of solid.
Oh, those things with the little lumps with peanut butter.
Yeah.
Yeah
bite
yeah.
through the chocolate.
Yeah.
You got to dig through the chocolate to get to the peanut butter.
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that.
I got to get some of those.
Megan?
Shut up, damn it!
Megan?
Yes, I'm here.
21.
Speaking of Orange County, Megan is from New. This is what somebody sounds like from Orange County as opposed to Missouri.
Yeah, from Missouri? What's up?
No, not from Missouri. Adam, I loved your comments earlier about our system. I fully agree with you.
Our system?
What system?
You were talking about our,
judicial system.
The lie detector test.
Oh, at the beginning of the show, yes.
Yes, okay. Who wouldn't agree with my
was
lie detector?
Was it this
detector?
Show or the last show?
Feels like it was a few shows ago, but... Yeah, the system we have has Blake and OJ playing golf together. Why not get my lie detector in place?
Yeah.
And let me say this. Now you got me fired up. But my lie detector, which we could work out, and be very easy. All the guys who were, by the way, all the people that were supposed to, you know, have their cases reviewed and, you know, brought out and all that stuff, or going out on parole, whatever. We passed everyone through everything. But here's the thing. My lie detector does not know what color you are.
Right.
It doesn't know your economic background. It doesn't care. It doesn't.
I think that's what people don't like.
It doesn't need anything. It doesn't know about. It doesn't know about your sexual
proclivity.
I think
what they're worried about is being discriminated against. But really, the motivation for not doing something like this is they're afraid of not being able to be an exception.
Right. It doesn't matter if you look like Pierce Brosnan or an ogre. It doesn't know. It doesn't care. It doesn't know. You could be black as coal with 300 gold teeth and a FDLAPD tattoo on your forehead, and either you pass it or you don't.
Nice.
Solid, huh?
Yeah.
Please. And they call me a racist. Megan?
Yeah, I'm here.
21?
Here we go.
Okay. I have been with my boyfriend for about 9 months. We have a great relationship, friends for years, and we're really happy. Talked about marriage. Might happen. Not right now. But I have been having these dreams every night. I'll wake up, go back to bed, have another one about sex. I have sex with people, even girls I know sometimes in my dreams, guys I know sometimes just people.
Like every night.
I saw online at Starbucks that morning.
Well, now you know what it's like to be a male. That's what males do all the time.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, but on the other hand, it's scaring me. Because I'm wondering, even because he's laying in bed with me, and I wake up and go, he can...
She just dropped that F-bomber?
S-bomb. S-bomb. What? Yeah, again, on one hand, I'm sort of complimented that they feel comfortable enough to just drop the S and the F word in the middle of a conversation.
It's like how your old lady feels when you drop your first gas bomb in front of her.
Yeah. He's comfortable.
This means it's for real.
He's comfortable. He's into me.
Yeah, this is long term now.
Start, and then on the other hand, ring shopping. She wants to retch.
He just blew a biscuit. We can start looking at rings tomorrow. I want to vomit on him. Yeah, you really should think that way, ladies. When he cocks that leg up and lets one fly, that means that it's time to start looking at wedding dresses.
Particularly when he makes the truck horns. Pull down with the arms.
Yeah, Megan dropped the S-bomb, so we gotta hold her off for a second. Drew, let me ask you this. If, as a guy, you have these crazy sexual dreams all the time, means nothing. And we usually tell people, don't worry about your dreams. It's just, you know, that's what they're there for.
Right.
But as a woman who's having these types of dreams that we normally would almost reserve for males, occasionally a woman, but if a woman's having them constantly, does this mean more than it does for a male? If for a male, it would mean nothing.
If it's a shift, if it's a change, it makes me worry about or think about something biological going on, medication, ovarian cysts.
Now, what about just an attitudinal shift, though?
Nah.
I
don't think so.
Thinking about other guys, been friends for a long time, now all of a sudden marriage has come up, feeling hemmed in a little bit.
I don't think so. She's thinking about men and women, and it's just pure sexual.
Megan?
Yes.
Any new medication, birth control pills?
I got off the shot about 6 months ago, and now I'm on the lowest birth control pill that you can have.
Well, maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about marriage with this guy?
Yeah, we've talked about it, and I'm happy with it. I mean, we won't do it for a few years. I'm still young, so we.
And you've been with him for how? You said 9. You've been friends with him for a long time.
Yeah, for a couple of years, so we're close. You know, we really know each other well.
Before you dropped the S bomb, you said you'd wake up next to him and what?
I would think, oh no, almost like I felt guilty for having the dreams.
Tell him about him. He'll let you know how unguilty you should feel.
Are you thoroughly attracted to him?
Yes, I love him. I mean, our sex life hasn't been that great lately.
Yeah, I said thoroughly attracted, not did you love him.
Yes, I'm thoroughly attracted to him.
All right, what's wrong with the sex life?
He's been really stressed out with work. I'm trying to do work and school full-time. Yeah.
We don't care. That's fine.
Again, another thing, it makes me think, you know, bipolar patients can do this when they get more manic-y. They'll start having crazy dreams like this. Birth control pills, medication can do this. Pregnancy can do this.
Also, people can hit little patches, and it builds on the last one. You're thinking, as you're going to bed, wow, the night before I had this crazy, sexy dream. I wonder if that's going to... And then that just carries you into the next night.
They've clearly not been very attentive to one another.
April?
Yes.
26?
Yes, I'm 26 years old.
What's up?
I've been friends with this guy for like 10 years. I met him when he was a freshman in high school, and I was a sophomore. And now I'm 26, he's 25. And we've both got out of pretty rocky relationships just recently, and we started having a friends with benefits relationship. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I have this feeling in my heart that he might be the one.
Well, that does it then. Yeah, I mean, you got a feeling. You got to write a song first. First, you need to write a song.
I mean, it's like, some poetry. We're fabulous in bed.
Okay,
I mean,
well, there.
I've never been more comfortable with a guy.
Put a check by that box.
Here's the problem, April. He's your friend. He's not your lover.
But she has a feeling in her heart.
Yeah, that's well, there you go.
Well, we're friends with benefits.
Yeah, I understand. But the reason you're not further along is because he doesn't have the feeling in his heart.
Not yet.
No.
I mean, we dated twice in high school, and it ended badly. And it's been a very, very long time since we've even considered it. And
He's not even considering a relationship.
Since we've considered it.
Since he's considered it.
You've thought about it many times.
Yes.
Thank
he's
you.
Not going to do it.
Hey, look, it's awesome to turn the I wish I could do the we thing, too, with everything. We're deciding whether I get the job.
Yeah, you and the boss are going to decide if we're going to get a raise. We are going to decide if I get the raise.
Yeah, that supermodel and I are deciding whether I get a BJ from her. We're doing a little soul searching, putting our minds together.
Think how grandiose and distorted that kind of thinking is. You know, you're going to make the decision. Your decision making bleeds into the other person's brain and makes it on their behalf too.
Yeah. Brad Pitt and I are deciding whether we're going out dirt bike riding this weekend.
Why not?
I mean, we're deciding. We're giving it some thought. I'm still on the fence. Brad's pretty gung-ho. Yeah, we, mm-hmm. Or he.
Or me.
Wow. Heavy. That was heavy. Heavy. April.
Yes.
That was so heavy that engineer Michelle, her head... Her cans came flying off.
Her habits. She almost flew.
She fell off her stool. All right. Look, I'm worried, and this is why the Friends with Benefits thing, which has been sort of... Friends with Benefits is almost like, I got a female trapped inside a male's body. It's somehow been accepted in the last 10
friends
years.
Friends with Benefits is a catastrophe.
It doesn't work for the chicks.
Listen, even for some of the guys sometimes, it looks great on paper. I was at University of Maryland. I said, yeah, you know, Friends with Benefits looks great on paper, right? We're friends. We love each other. And we have sex. No big deal. Yeah, communism looks good on paper.
Right.
It's the same principle.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work with humans.
Yeah.
So do you think I should give him an ultimatum or...
I think... And I don't think there's anything wrong with I don't think there's anything wrong with not putting the screws to the person, but saying, I have feelings for you that are getting a little past the Friends with Benefits label. I need to know if you're having those feelings for me, because if you're not, I need to move on because this is becoming uncomfortable. And that's fine. And he has to be able to answer it.
But don't put the screws to him so he can't answer it honestly.
Right.
You got to put it very gently, give him a chance, give him plenty of space to answer honestly, and then accept what he says.
And don't buy into that, well, let me pump on it. I'm just going to pump you for a while and think about it. I'll do some soul searching while I'm on top of you.
Let me pump on it.
That's a good way to go. I like to pump on it for a while. Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes things get a lot clearer after a good pumping. You know, that's the way I am. All right.
And at the end, what's your answer now, honey?
Yeah. All right. Let's take a. Let me hear David Alan Greer.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to hear what David Alan Greer sexually sounds like. Anderson, do you
hear
that?
Like people looking at him.
Don't. Yeah, doesn't like people looking at him.
I will give you something to smile about.
That's what it's like. It's always funny. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah! Loveline, Amanda, this is Dr. Drew. Drew, how about we keep her rocking, huh?
Let's rock. Here we go.
I want to talk to Lucy. She's been on hold too long. Lucy?
Yeah?
16?
Yeah.
You use meth every day?
Yeah.
That seems bad.
That's probably, in terms of addictive drugs, it's one of the ones we worry about the most these days. It causes something called excitotoxicity, where it's... The chemicals that the brain uses to communicate amongst cells.
Uh-oh. I think you lost it.
Let's just say they get loose inside the cell and turn into free radicals and destroy the cells as a result of amphetamine use. So you get brain destruction. So this is a really serious problem.
Lucy.
Yeah?
How long have you been doing meth?
For like a year and a half.
A year and a half?
Yeah.
You're only 16.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this, Lucy. You know, I'm an atheist, and I don't care, so I can speak freely. This is, and I don't mind people that do drugs, and will do the occasional drug myself now and again. Meth is the worst of all the drugs, in my humble opinion. It really is bad, and you don't hear me making a big deal if some guy's smoking weed or drinking a beer. I don't even feel this strongly about coke or heroin. Meth is horrible. And it is ugly. And things, I mean, people physically, it's sort of ugly spiritually and physically ugly.
Yeah.
And you need to get yourself some help because it's just going to be...
bad times.
Just bad times. It's the next few years are going to be a mess.
And he's not saying switch to another drug either, because that's the only other way you can deal with this.
Hold on, that's what I'm saying. No, you need to get some help, Lucy. Is there anyone you can talk to?
Well, my friends wanted to put me in rehab.
That's where you need to go.
Right now, but like I told them, I was an addict and all this stuff.
That's where you need to go.
Talk to your friends. Find your smartest friend and talk to her about it.
Have them take you to a place. It's not for punishments. You go into treatment. It's to help you get better.
No. His speed is horrible. Let me just address Lily real quick. Lily.
Hey,
21, yes. You don't like me making fun of junior college people.
No, I'm so, like, I get so, me and my friend both here, we listen to you guys, and we get so pissed off when you bag on junior colleges, because the thing is that, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he said I can't say what I said, but I think I can because you guys are still talking to me. But anyways, I went to a junior college, and so did he, and we're both at the University of Davis, California now.
Mm-hmm. University of Davis. Mm.
Yes, and we're both really good students.
University of
Davis.
And
I thought it's called UC Davis.
It is University of California, Davis. She said
University of California, Davis.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, school is what you make it. And no matter what school you go to, it's totally what you make it. And junior colleges are not bad. They're total funnel schools, and they give people a chance to make it.
So you they funnel you to hell, into an abyss, but you never graduate. That funnel.
By the way, school is not just what you make it. It's your competition and your faculty. Otherwise, there would be no difference among schools.
Drew, it's what you make it. Everything's what you make it. If you make prison into Neverland, it's fine.
It's what you make it.
Here's what I want to say very quickly. There are a handful of people that go there, study hard, and then transfer. That's the minority. Then there's Engineer Chris and the majority who are in their 30s and they actually need this. They need their bubble burst so they can move out and go do something. You go to a junior college because you're a bad student in high school, and the 4 months you took off for summer usually don't transform you into the world's greatest student. That's all I'm saying.
There you go.
Be realistic. Join the military.
So you're saying, find some training, some on-job training, some other work.
A tough love. I do it for you guys, kiddies. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Well, that's it, everyone. I want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.